Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are here for another week of Turning Towards Life. Lizzie, you're in London, and I am traveling now, and it's lovely to be able to be connected this way to see you and to talk with you as we have done for these last 330 something weeks. So, Lizzie, thank you for being here. Thank you for bringing this week. You've brought a source that has had that effect on me that you often say the things I bring has had on you, which I'm left sort of, what is this? Discombobulated, turned inside out. So I'm really looking forward to talking about it. I've got a lot of excitement to step into the unknown. And thank you, everybody, for being here with us, for joining us in this conversation. We know that many of you have traveled alongside us for the nearly 7 years that we've been doing this, and many of you have found us more recently, and some of you are with us every week, and some of you dip in when it seems like being alongside us would be helpful or interesting to you, and all of that is welcome wherever you are in the world and whenever in history or future you're listening to this. Thank you for being alongside us. And Lizzie, this feeling of, for me, of the unknown of this particular source, not knowing where our conversation will go, it seeming to me that practicing being together in the unknown is really important always. And it's also really important in times when we're feeling uncertain or troubled or unsettled, which I know for many people is a lot of the time right now, is to find our way into the mystery and then also find that we can find our feet in the midst of it, which I'm sure is what we're going to do together today. So thank you.
Thank you, Justin, and welcome everybody from me too. This source is equally as discombobulating for me, probably, Justin, as it is for you. And when I read it, I thought, I don't know what that's on about, and I need it. And so, but I think that kind of relates to what it's about as well, that we're responding that way to it seems to me to be what the whole poem is about. Anyway, we'll get into it. That's my sense of it. And that's the interesting thing. I'm coming into this with a kind of sense of something rather than a load of together thoughts and understandings or something. And again, I think that's what it's about as well. So I'm really interested that we're both not knowing what's going on. How excellent. So this poem is called What You Thought You Lost. And I don't know how to pronounce Wendy's name, but I think it may be Wendy Wiedlock. I don't know exactly how to say that. So Wendy, if you're listening, apologies if we've got your surname slightly pronounced wrongly. But thank you, Wendy, for this wonderful invitation of a mysterious poem for us here. So Justin, as usual, I'll read and then you'll read and then we'll see where this lands us or not lands us, but we'll get sent down some kind of path as we always do. And Justin, thank you for always being okay with the not knowing and being someone who welcomes walking, even though we don't know what the path is, but that the path will be there because we're walking, kind of thing. I'm really grateful for that. So, this is what you thought you lost. What you thought you lost along the way hangs in the air like a prayer. May you find your way home. May the doors swing open wide from the out and the inside. Under a wide open sky, may you lose, may you find, may you know in the core of your weathered soul, your old and your new sign. May every stranger on the path become the one who stopped to hang something you thought you lost in the air by a thread like an ancient prayer, an ancient pagan prayer. Like some kind of elder, warm-eyed guardian was standing there.
Thank you, Lizzie. I realize as you are reading this how much I need to hear this. Just starting to point the way into what this conversation might be. So I'm going to read two, like you said, and just a reminder for all of you who are with us, you can always find the sources, all of them, on our turningtowards.life website and in the notes to the podcast and in our Facebook group as well. So this is by Wendy Wiedlock. My attempt to get your name right, Wendy. and it's called What You Thought You Lost. What you thought you lost along the way hangs in the air like a prayer. May you find your way home. May the doors swing open wide from the out and the inside. Under a wide open sky, may you lose, may you find. May you know in the core of your weathered soul, your old and your new sign. May every stranger on the path become the one who stopped to hang something you thought you lost in the air by a thread, like an ancient pagan prayer, like some kind of elder, warm-eyed guardian was standing there.
Justin, let's begin. So when I read this, Justin, and in the hearing of you reading it now, what comes to me is this reminder of when I learn something, or when I realize something, or my eyes feel opened to something, or my heart feels open to something that seemed to be not there before, or that I had lost it, it has this quality of always having been there. Weirdly, a little bit like maybe you experience this too, Justin, having children, like when your children come along and then you think, well, somehow they've always been here, but they weren't here, but they were, but they weren't, but they weren't. And it feels the same with learning things, that there's a kind of non-newness, even when it seems like it's new. It's a realization, it's an opening, it's an, oh my gosh, I never saw that before, or just realized this thing. There's this quality of, it was always here, I just didn't see it. And I think that's the same for what maybe this poem is pointing to, this sense of what we're all uniquely supposed to be up to in the world. So looking at things directly is not what's needed. It's like a looking for signs or something, a little bit like towards the end of the poem, where there is this possibility that everybody that I meet along the path could be somebody who is giving something back to me, or is reminding me of something, or is contains some notion of the thing that I thought I lost. And for me, I'm not even sure I know I've lost things, but when I find them again, it's that shows me that I thought I had lost them. But I'm not going around thinking, oh, I've lost things, where are they? But the feeling of having lost something and it being returned to me only comes when something is returned to me. So like meeting a friend who you think, oh my gosh, I feel like I've known you forever, and we've known each other about 4 days. That kind of thing feels to me in the realms of purposefulness and some kind of connection that I can't kind of cognitively understand. But in my experience, in my kind of experiential body, there's something that says, this is very familiar. This feels like me, or this feels like home. And I don't have anything particularly rational to tell you about it. But my system, my nervous system, my body feels like, oh, here we are. And so the way that Wendy puts it, that these things are kind of hanging in the air, it's like they're not here. And yet when they arrive, it's like, oh, yeah, of course, it must have always been here somehow, or you must have always been here somehow. or this feeling, this piece of work, or this kind of vocational something I've got a hold of or a sense of. It was always there, kind of inviting me or calling me or something. And yet, I feel like I haven't known it before, but I have really. It's so difficult to try and express myself, but I think that's the best I can do for now.
It's a wonderful start. I really love how this. I was listening to. Oh, I really can't remember who or what I was listening to, and I'd like to find it because it might be relevant for our conversation at some point. Someone who was talking about the role that artists take up in our culture, why we need poets and painters and playwrights and sculptors and the kinds of things that Wendy is doing here, because they carry, we all carry, I suppose is the way, but artists get to express it. We carry with us a memory of something that's deeper than we often can get to on the surface of things, and particularly in a culture where we've been really encouraged. If you grow up in a sort of conventional Western education system, you'll learn lots and lots of very, very excellent things. But one of the things that you'll learn is a sort of world view that the world is made up of cold, hard, meaningless stuff. We've talked about this before, and that we're somehow an accident in the midst of it, and not to really trust ourselves, and that. And then someone like Wendy comes and says, "Whoa, whoa, 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 hold on. Hold on, there's something deeper and more important that's under the surface of things here that's really hard to get to in words, but here's a really good, way of trying to bring it forward." That's what poetry can do. And the one of the things that happened to me in reading and hearing this poem, there's so much to talk about this in this about what's lost and what's found, and do we really lose anything at all, the things that we think that we lose and everything. I want to come to that maybe in my next round of talking with you, Lizzie, here. But I think where I wanted to start was with this sense that seems so clearly expressed in this poem, although never said exactly in this way, is that we live in the midst of a very, very meaningful kind of existence in which we ought to be treating what's around us as if it was significant and not as if it was just empty. Like when you wake up in the morning after having had a dream and you go, I wonder what that dream was about. And sometimes we'll treat our dream worlds as if they're meaningful. Oh, it's showing me something about my life or about me or inviting me into a question. If we're lucky enough to have been supported in this, we might treat our dreams this way. And I think that this poem is an invitation to treat our lives in the same way. The sense that what we might feel that we've lost might be hanging right here. Love this language about hanging on a string. I can't see it now in front of me. In the air like an ancient prayer. Or that what I long for, that I feel like I may have lost since the very beginning of my life, might be being brought to me in lots and lots of different ways. That what I knew I had might be very nearby, like as a glasses wearer, I think about this a lot all the time, like I can't find my glasses, but they're right here, like really close. So we, it it the poem calls on a certain kind of attentiveness from us. A kind of wide-eyed, heart-filled receiving of our lives as significant. And I don't mean in some wishful thinking way, like, oh, I can just know what everything means and the whole world is telling me something all the time. I think life is very, very mysterious and we have to pay an enormous amount of attention. But the bit that is most touching me in that theme is right at the end, and you started talking about this too. May every stranger on the path become the one who stopped to hang something you thought you'd lost in the air. So someone I know once wrote very beautifully somewhere, and I'm sure that they were quoting someone else, and I don't know who they were quoting, that you should treat everyone that you meet as if they were God in drag. Like, every single person isn't just an object who happens to be in your way or there to help you or, some useful thing. People are carriers of messages and meaning. And there's something transcendent and significant about every encounter. And if we could treat, I think I said to you last week, I was heading into this last week, what I expected would be a very difficult conversation with somebody, and it was a very difficult conversation with that person I had this week. And what I've been wanting to do in the midst of it is to feel all the pain and the difficulty in that conversation, and also see if I can treat everything about it as a stranger on the path who stopped to hang something I thought was lost in the air. So I feel hurt and I feel disappointed and I feel angry about some things, and all of those are just very, very ordinary, and I sort of really honor their place in me and in that and in the whole thing. There is so much to learn. Like on the simplest way, I can feel that I've been reclaiming my courage and my integrity in a particular way. That's been one of the immediate gifts. But then there's all the other things that were happening because that person brought a disagreement to me and we talked about it and it was hard. What I want to do is hold it as in a sort of sense of wonder at all the things that are now hanging around me like the threads, on a thread, like some elder warm-eyed guardian was standing there to receive all of the difficulty in that light, like it's laden with, resplendent with meaning and possibility that I can tap into, that brings me into contact with things about myself that I thought I would lost or I'd never had. So coming at life that way seems to me much more, actually much more appropriate. For me, anyway, for living a rich life than treating everything like it was an obstacle or an irritation or something random like that.
What's coming to me, Justin, I often find myself reflecting on the things that have made a really big difference to me in my sense of, I guess in a shortcut way of saying is emptiness to fullness. In some way, I think that you could call that a little summary of the journey I feel like I'm on. And there's lots of places I've been, experiences I've had, all of those things, but the one thing that feels like it's the biggest contributor to my sense of my own fullness and goodness in the world is living in community. And when you were talking about the gifts that this person has brought you that you didn't know were there, maybe like your courage or your integrity, that sometimes you lose sight of, especially when things are difficult. You think it's only difficult, and then, oh yes, but there's all this stuff too. Like the light is always there, right, and shining in the darkness. They're right next to each other. I think the thing that has been my, on reflection, the biggest contributor to my fullness has been ever since I dedicated myself to being a person who lives in community with one with each other. So being in our kind of work, Justin, where there are people who come along who, in the narrative I have anyway, of, and we've spoken about it so many times, of actually receiving my life. When I sit and receive people in all of their story and vulnerability and difficulty and wonder and joy and all of the attributes of humanness that come forth in a space that's dedicated to liberation and freedom and human deepening, that experience for me over time, and again and againness of that, and the amount of people I've been in that kind of work with, that community oriented sharing, being with one another in a very real way, that feels to me like it's the singularly most powerful thing that fills me up. And so, as we're talking about this, I can see that there are so many well, they were once strangers and now not strangers, who have brought me things that are me that I never knew about myself. It's like being with people in that kind of intimacy and that kind of vulnerability and straightforwardness and kindness and warmth and sometimes real trickiness as well. The intimacy of that is this, that these warm-eyed guardians are standing there, literally, not in the form of something I can't see, although, of course, that realm is present too. But even the realms that I can see, I can feel that giftedness, like being gifted by being connected with people, by being in each other's presence when we're in tender places, tender and real, and we're present to one another in that. And so my weathered soul really does feel like this kind of returning, things being returned to me. It's not transactional, but it's like when I meet somebody and feel the feeling of connection and some kind of homeliness and familiarity, it's like the channels are open for me to receive all of the gifts of these people that I seemingly are strangers. And then my life becomes filled with their life. And that's how I'm feeling full these days. So what I thought I lost, that fullness that manifested for me in a kind of emptiness, my life feels full. And it's really, really, in very significant part, down to these warm-eyed guardians bringing themselves straightforwardly, honestly, openly into the space of deepening and bringing their lives forth and not just being their social self, but being what's real behind everything.
We're just, as some people think, totally accidental bunches of neurons and bones and muscles walking around, deluding ourselves that we're conscious. There's this sort of narrative, very reductive narrative about humans. Then none of what we're talking about makes sense. But if we see ourselves as I don't even know how to say this. If we see ourselves as expressions of life itself, and life is rich and varied and deep and mysterious and all kinds of words that I can't, things that I can't find language for, then when we meet another person, whether we are able to make community in the way that you've been talking about, Lizzie, that I know has been a shared commitment of both of ours and is, expressed in the kind of work that we do and all of that, but even if we don't find ourselves in that kind of community, when we meet the person in the checkout queue who's standing in front of us unloading their shopping, or the person who's working on the other side of the checkout queue, or the someone walking along the street, or a friend or a family member or someone we dislike, or we can say to ourselves, they are the carrier of something very, very important that is also inside me. And so what we get reminded of, I was thinking whilst you were talking about what would it be to start with the people I know and also the people I come across and go, what's the something in me that gets reawakened that I re-find because I'm with you? The something that was here, mine all along, by virtue of being a human, that I had right from the start, that I never lost because it never can be lost, but I may not have known I had it. I may have forgotten that I lost contact with it, or I may have been longing for it. So I so often think about, I mean, there's lots of things I could say about you, but one of them for me is how I get in contact with courage by being with you, because of the way that you are. The way that you stand courageously in the world awakens courage and truthfulness and directness in me. And then I think about the person who works, one of the people who works behind the checkout at our local supermarket. And boy, do we need people who work behind checkouts and not those machines that bleep at you and tell you to put the stuff in the bagging area, because they can't be, as she is, a reminder of contactfulness and sparkle and the joy at being with other humans. And I could list, if I took all the people I can think of in my life, including the ones that I have the most difficulty with, and I said, what is the something that gets remembered in me because I'm with them? Which I'm starting to do, and I've been starting to do in my mind. The world comes in like, and people come in vivid, vibrant presence. And then I think, at least for me, that's when I want to make contact and relationship with everyone of all the different kinds. Not, I don't want to be everyone's friend, and I don't want to be everyone's close in person. But I want to be in contact with others and with this life. I don't want to tune out of it or treat it like it's meaningless. So in listening to you and then finding some words, this sense of the way we can be gift givers and gift bringers. You were talking about gifts just before, gift bringers to one another, even when we don't know that we are, and then however more, how much more so when we do know that that's what we can be up to. Can I be the person who can be one around whom you get more in contact with, you get to remember, you get to put back together gifts and qualities that are yours because my presence is such that I'm an affordance for you doing that in some way. Can we be that for other? And that's what I think are the kind of being together, being in conversation together, making community together that you were talking about. That's one way for me of talking about that. And we can the it's so helpful to know that we can actually start with it in ourselves. We don't have to be up to something grand. It's the orientation that Wendy is asking us into. To know that we're being brought this all the time and we can be ones who bring this to one another all the time is actually always available to us.
And Justin, as you're talking, it had me thinking about what a different story it is to live in, where even the most difficult people in our lives inevitably will be reminding us of things about ourselves that we might have forgotten. So, for example, if somebody's really, I don't know, like aggressive, or there's something the way that they speak to me that I feel hurt by or wounded by, there's a lot more going on than just my hurt and my wound. And even then I could see, like you're saying, acknowledging the hurt and the wound and that having its equal place, but that there's probably things about everyone that we could appreciate and we could receive from, no matter. I know that there are degrees of, aggression's probably a too extreme a word to use, but there are people, certainly in my life, who, when they talk to me, I just think that's too much for me. That's like an affront, and I kind of wish you wouldn't be like that with me. And yet, when you're talking, I'm kind of running some conversations back through my mind and thinking, well, yeah, and also there was other things there. If I relook, there are things to be received there as well. Because certainly when I get triggered, I get so narrow and so kind of tiny in my view and my sense of myself and everything when I'm feeling hurt like that. But on reflection, I can zoom out and I can receive from people, even though it feels bad at the time. And I guess what's kind of led me there is you saying that, in amongst the difficulty in the conversation you had in this week, what you got to receive was your courage and your integrity. Which, so the occasion was a was an opportunity to know that about yourself, even though it was horrible. There are things to be grateful for and things to feel difficult about. And I'm feeling like that's mostly true as I, in the last week, the kind of weirdnesses I've had and the trickinesses, I can also reflect and go, oh yeah, well, that was really hard, and these were all the feelings, and there are other things to be received there too. And it's not to make it all okay that it's happening or something, but it's like, but it is, as you say, like a more mysterious approach or a more mysterious story to have, which is that there's something meaningful happening here. And what if it was in service of me somehow? And what if it was showing me something that's mine that I could receive, or something that I can cultivate in response? Or like you're saying, you found courage and you found, oh yes, there's a lot of integrity here in me. And there may have been something in the person you were in conversation with as well, which could have been, I don't know, strength or determination or commitment. There are a lot of qualities that aren't the content of what's going on, but are the way of being of the person or ourselves that we can reflect on and see. And they're all available to us, regardless of the circumstances and the nuances of the detail of conversation you're in or whatever. There's other things available, and I'm feeling really drawn to reflect in that way too, because it also has me see people much more generously and much more clearly when I think that way.
Two very brief things. From another book I've been reading that I'm going to try and find something to bring to this conversation at some point. The authors point out that whenever we're faced with what they call an anomaly, which is essentially a situation where somehow life is not bringing out the best in all of us, the thing to do is to not try to cover over the anomaly, but is to hold on to it and stay in the midst of it so that we can find in it that which will bring out the best in us. So exactly as you're saying, the conversation I've been in this week had lots and lots of difficulty in it for me, and was an example of a conversation with someone who has enormous dedication and enormous care and enormous strength, and me finding my courage and integrity and openness and stability and groundedness in the midst of it. And the anomaly, the difficulty, allowed for all of that. And it doesn't mean that it's all, the reason I'm saying it as an anomaly here is that it's not all filled with good. It was filled with lots and lots of things that are unwelcome. And I appreciated as you got into that part of the conversation that it's a really helpful way to distinguish between a kind of naive, a wide-eyed, everything's great all the time kind of orientation to life, instead of going in everything. There are ways for us to, or in most things, in the vast majority of circumstances, there are ways in which we can have this be a way to remember what we thought we had lost, both in ourselves and also to see in others what we may not be seeing because I'm angry with a person or because I've got judgments about a person or whatever, to see that as well as all the things I don't want to be happening, there are really important best of us as humans qualities present. Can we find them? So that's the first thing. And I've completely forgotten what the second thing is, so I'm not going to say it.
I always admire that you can count the things and you know how many things you've got to say. I
Usually
can't
got
do
to,
that. It's a great skill, but you just didn't do it then, so I'm quite pleased. Well, Justin, I want to say thank you again to Wendy, and that this got written and invited us into this nuanced conversation about goodness, really. And I love this thing that we've ended on, Justin, of staying with the anomaly. And so the goodness can reveal itself, I think, was the lines you were talking on. And I really look forward to whatever that source is. How wonderful that we could tell the story that all of our difficulties and arguments and kerfuffles could be the anomalies. And how faithful and wonderful that we could see those as opportunities to feel that the emergence of goodness is possible in all of those times when, as humans, Most of us just find it really, really difficult to stay in it and to wonder about it and to heal inside of difficulty. So thank you, and we look forward to that coming our way. And thank you everybody for listening and for being with us. And we will be back next week with a source from Justin.
Thanks, Lizzie. Thanks, everyone.